Well, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I've changed directions. I'm not going to preach out of Psalms now. Psalms 43, Psalms in the 43rd chapter. Yes, that's my desire this morning. I pray that you can walk out of here this morning and that you can walk knowing that your feet are treading on the solid rock of Christ Jesus. Amen? Man, we live in a world of shifting sand. Amen? And man, we need the solid rock, the solid footing of Christ Jesus. I picked up a little book the other day at one of the local bookstores here. And I think it's Laura Lee bookstore. I want to thank Miss Kelly for her place there. But I picked up a little book. It's entitled Prison or Mississippi Prison Letters, or Mississippi Prison Writings, to be specific. And it kind of intrigued me, the title of it. I have been in prison ministries and jail ministries through the years, and have had a number of guys to write letters to me through the years. And so it's always intriguing to hear how these people write and things that they share. And so this book just kind of caught my attention. And so I just started reading. And I want to just read this to you. This is a young man who's writing. It's a Jewish man who is in Parchment. And he writes this. He says, "When you first come to prison, you still have hope. You hope your family is all right. You hope that one day you might be able to return to them. The list would be endless, needless to say. Then you're introduced to the cauldron of chaos the prison administration expects you to live in. All hope ceases. When you stay away, when you take away all hope, when you treat people as if they are no better than animals, undeserving of respect and compassion, do not be surprised one day when the whole group of them rises up and shakes off their bonds. This place is a powder keg just waiting to explode." I read that paragraph and I thought, there's not a hair's difference in what's going on in Parchment and what's happening in our neighborhoods, in our cities, and in our communities. He goes on to say, "Have you ever thought about what the word hope means?" He said, "The American Heritage Dictionary says it means, one, to wish for something with expectation. Two, a desire accompanied by confident expectation. To wish for something interesting, isn't it? There is an overabundance of wishing going on in here." Again, there is an overabundance of wishing going on in our world today, right? Then he says, "I have a more realistic definition that men in prison should utilize. Hope is the lies we tell ourselves about the future. Don't expect anything and you won't be disappointed." That's where we're at today. In the few months that Rhonda and I have been here in Vicksburg and meeting new people and just out on the streets, we always tell people, "Hey, you know, we're new here. And my name's Bill, her name's Rhonda, you know, we're new here. Who are you? You know, we got to meet." And they always ask this question. They always ask two questions. One, "Where did you move from?" And we say, "Well, we moved from the Hattiesburg area." And their second question is this. Their whole demeanor changes, their tone of voice changes, and they ask this question: "Why did you move here? Why would you move to Vicksburg?" We got some friends that are asking, "Why did you move? Why did you leave us, you know?" And our response is always this: "God moved us here. God moved us here." But what I want you to understand is it's the question that's asked. Why would you move here? You see, what we hear in their voice is so little hope. What we hear is so much hopelessness. What we hear is so much of, we don't even want to be here. Why would anybody want to move here? And friend, I believe it's the calling of the church that we're to bring life to a community and we're to bring hope to a community. Listen, the world needs to know that there is a hope, and that hope can be found in no one but Jesus Christ. Listen, if your hope is anchored to a boat on the river, you're going to lose your hope. If your hope is in what the gambling boats have to offer here, you're going to lose your hope. If your hope is in what the government can do for you, you're going to be sadly disappointed. Listen, if your hope is in what the school system has to offer to you, you're going to get disappointed. The only hope that we can rest in, the only hope that we can have a sure foundation is in the hope of Jesus Christ. And when we find a hope in Jesus Christ, guess what? Government changes, school changes, society changes. And that's the calling that we have, is to bring that hope. And so the question this morning is, what does the future have in store? You know, when you ask people, I always love asking kids this when they graduate high school. You ask them, what are you going to do now? You know what they say? I don't know. And so they go to college and they get a degree and they graduate college, and you ask them, what are you going to do now? You know what they say? I'm leaving my options open. Which is code for, I don't know. And so we ask this question like that. What does the future have? You know, this is a question that most people ask at one time or another in their life. I remember that day when I was sitting in a fraternity room, in my bedroom in a fraternity house. And I came to the realization that I wanted to be the next Johnny Bench. But that wasn't going to happen. No one from the school that I was attending had ever made it into the major leagues. And I probably wasn't going to be the first. And I didn't have a plan B. And it was a dark, difficult day for me. I've been through other times in my life when my career wasn't on the projection that I thought it should be on. And I thought, what am I going to do now? Where is my future? Where is the direction in my life? Who am I and what am I doing? It's a question that so many people find themselves asking. Some of you, when you turned 40, can I get a witness? Ask a question. Not that you're 40 now, but when you turned 40, you remember, right? So when you turned 40, you said, what am I doing? What does life mean? And then some of you now have retired. And now you're retired and you have all of these days and you have all of this time on your hands. And many of you wake up in the morning thinking, what am I going to do today? What's my purpose for here? And so it's easy for us to lose that hope. I think about in Jeremiah chapter 29, when the children of Israel were in bondage, taken into captivity, in the difficult, dark days that they were living in, Jeremiah came with a message. Jeremiah said this from God. He said, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. In verse 7, Jeremiah 31 and verse 7 says, there is hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to their own border. And I'm here to declare to you this morning, there is a hope in your future. If you're listening this morning on the radio, I want you to know this morning, you may be in your home and you may be all alone, but I want you to know there is a hope in your future. If you're watching this morning, wherever you're at, I want you to know this morning, there is a hope in your future that God promises you. And He promises you that hope through the person of Jesus Christ. What you need this morning, more than anything, your soul desperately needs hope. The Bible says in Psalms 43 and verse 5, read this with me together. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope
in God. For I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Charles Swindoll, in one of the few books to address the subject of biblical hope, he says, hope is something as important to us as water is to a fish, as vital as electricity is to a light bulb, as essential as air is to a jumbo jet. Hope is basic to life. He says, without that needed spark of hope, we're doomed to a dark, grim existence. How often the word hopeless appears in suicide notes. And even if it isn't actually written, we can read between the lines. Take away our hope and our world is reduced to something between depression and despair. Hope is more than wishful thinking. Hope is a vital necessity of life, a gift that God wants to give you. God wants you to have hope this morning. Your soul desperately needs hope this morning. I want to just share just briefly this morning. Your hope, your soul needs a future and a hope for today. For today, this day. You know, there are times when our future can only be imagined for the next few minutes. A lot of times when we do job interviews, when we do kind of evaluations and things, we ask ourselves and we ask others the question, what is your future? Where do you want to be in 5 years from now? You ever been asked that? Where do you want to be in 10 years from now? Where do you want to be, you know, at the end of your career? All those kind of things. I think the harder question is this. Where do you want to be tomorrow? Where do you want to be today? What do you want to accomplish today? It's easy for us to dream about where we want to be and what we want to do 5 years from now. The more challenging thing is, what are we going to do today? What are we going to accomplish today? What do we absolutely need to do and experience before we go to bed tonight? And so that's a great question. In Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13, it says, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. Remember when they're standing there at the Red Sea, the enemy's crashing in on them? There's water on one side, there's enemy on the other. They're caught between a rock and a hard place, right? They don't know where to turn. And Moses has this word for me. He says, look, don't be afraid. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you when? Today. Today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you'll never see again. Whatever you're facing today, God has an answer for that. Here's a little acronym I put together for hope. H-O-P-E, hope, okay? H is for honestly admit where you are. Just honestly admit to where you are. Listen, hope doesn't pretend that everything is okay. I love the psalmist. The psalmist says, oh my soul, why are you cast down? The psalmist admits, my soul is cast down. I am not in this. Hope begins with us honestly admitting we're not where we want to be. We're not where we need to be. Our situation is difficult. Our situation is grim. See, we've made it such a practice of coming to church and seeing folks and how are you doing? Oh, I'm blessed, too blessed to be stressed. You know, and all those kind of things. Well, listen, friends, sometimes we need to come to church and just be honest and say, you know what? I'm too stressed to be blessed. Hello? I'm so stressed out. I don't hear the songs. I don't hear the message. I don't hear anything. I am so stressed. We need to admit that sometimes. Sometimes we need to leave church and say, you know what? I didn't get anything out of that. Because my life is a wreck right now. And I'm not in a place to where I can really worship. So to be honest, it's okay. It's okay to be honest. Psalms 38. The Bible says David's not having a good day here. This is a difficult time. And he says, for in you, O Lord, I hope you will hear. David said, I'm in such a place that when I pray, I'm not even sure if God's even listening or not. I'm praying that God's hearing my prayer. So just be honest. The O is to openly invite Christ into your mess. Be honest with where you're at, and then openly invite Christ into your mess. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 12 says this, "Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today I declare that I will restore double to you." Just say, "God, you know what? I need you in my situation. God, I've lost it all. I need you." You know, there's so many times when I have visited with guys in jail, and they say this, "I really don't think God can help me. And I really don't think God will help me. I've gotten myself in this mess. And until I am willing to get myself out of it, I don't think God will help me." The reality is, the devil got you in that mess, and the devil wants to keep you in that mess. And you will never get yourself out of that mess. You need the hand of God to get you out of that. And so if you want out of it, you better invite God into it. And many of you are still in that mess, and your hole's getting deeper, and you're not willing to ask God into it. And so this morning, be honest about your situation. And be open to invite God into that situation. And then the P is pray. To pray continually. Listen, prayer is a place where we pour our hearts and it's out to God. It's a place where we pause to hear God's voice. Listen, sometimes when we're so weary, we just simply forget to talk to Jesus about it. So sometimes you can get so overwhelmed and you think, "Well, why didn't I pray about that?" You know, you get so overwhelmed that you forget to even pray. And so remember to pray about it. Instead we just kind of settle in and we complain and we talk to others and we complain to others, but we don't talk to God about it. So just pray. Call out to God. I think about old Jonah. Remember when Jonah had refused to go to Nineveh? God had told Jonah, "Go to Nineveh and preach." And Jonah said, "I'm not going to Nineveh and preach. If I go, they'll repent, and then you'll let them off, and I don't want them off. I want you to sick them, God." You know. And so Jonah went down, found a ship to Tarshish. You realize Tarshish is the furthest point to the west, and it was thought that the world could be flat, that they would just drop off over there. It was the furthest place you could go to get away from God. He went down there, and there happened to be a boat going to Tarshish. And boats didn't go to Tarshish every day. I realized, man, if you want to get away from God, the devil will give you a boat to get as far away as you possibly can. And he went out there and he got in that boat, and then the storm came and they threw him overboard, and he wound up in the belly of a great fish. And in the belly of that fish, he cried out to God. And he said, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple." Jonah found himself in the gut of a fish, but he knew his prayers were entering into the Holy of Holies. And friend, this morning you may find yourself in the gut of life, but your prayers reach the Holy of Holies. And God hears those prayers, and God can deliver. Psalms 102 verse 17 said, "He shall regard the prayer of the destitute, and he shall not despise their prayer." Pray. And then E is to encourage your heart with God's word. Just to be reminded to read God's word to help you through those times. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Spirit of the Scriptures might have hope." Just reading God's word can give us hope. And so we have to be honest, to be open, to pray, and to be encouraged by God's word. James 4 verse 13 says this, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell, make a profit. Now, oftentimes when preachers use this verse, we focus on the tomorrow. But the verse also includes today. James says, for those of you who say today or tomorrow, sometimes we're so focused on the tomorrow that we don't get focused on the today. Your soul needs hope for today. I came across this verse and it just kind of popped out to me one day. It's today. I went back and I looked at that in the Greek, and it's really today. It's the emphasis on not, the emphasis is really on this day. Not just today, but this day. It is to say that this day, your soul needs hope. Years ago, it was Christmas, and I was going to buy my wife a Christmas gift, and she's difficult to buy for. Not that she's difficult to find things to buy for, but it's difficult for me to buy things for her without her knowing about it because she keeps all the finances. And so if I use a debit card or I use any kind of card or whatsoever, then she knows about it. She gets an alert that Bill is spending money. And so, you know, so I waited till the last minute and I thought I can surprise her. And so I bought her tickets to an off-Broadway show that was coming to the Singer Theater down in New Orleans. And the tickets were more expensive than what I really wanted to pay, but it wasn't near about worth what she was worth. You know, I mean, it was way less than what she was worth. She was worth a whole lot more. The tickets weren't worth more, but she was worth more. Am I getting anywhere at all? She said no. And so I bought these tickets, and I bought them. It was like Christmas Eve, you know. And so we're all sitting around, families together. We're watching the Christmas Eve movie, you know. And I'm thinking, I'm going to try to get away with this. She won't check finances on Christmas Eve, right? And so we're sitting there, and she gets an alert on her phone. Oh, my goodness. Somebody has used our credit card. And look how much they've spent. It was a disaster. You know, I can't get away with anything. You're probably wondering, what was the show? The show was Annie. Remember that show? Remember that musical, Annie? Remember that song that Annie used to sing? The sun will come out tomorrow. I'm not going to sing it for you. But Annie says, when I'm stuck in a day that's gray and long, I just stick out my chin and grin and say, oh, the sun will come out tomorrow. So you got to hang on till tomorrow. Come what may. You see, hope today helps us get to tomorrow. We sing a hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, which speaks of strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. I've got to have strength today and hope today to even get to tomorrow. Your soul needs hope for today. Amen? But your hope, your soul needs hope for a tomorrow as well. Your soul needs hope for tomorrow. If you Google of hope for tomorrow, you will find somewhere around 16,800,000 results. 16,800,000 results when you do a Google search for tomorrow. Everyone wants hope for tomorrow. Your soul needs that great hope for tomorrow. Someone wrote this named Anonymous. Anonymous, have you ever noticed how much Anonymous has written? Anonymous has written a lot of stuff, and it's good stuff. It says, tomorrow is a day where anything can happen. You could visit new cities, new countries. You could start a new day, a new life. It's your choice to do whatever your mind can think, Because life's a blank page, an empty photograph, just waiting to be filled with whatever it is that you love. That's the power of tomorrow. Tomorrow gives us hope. Now, here's something that I read that's better than anonymous. This is written in the red letters of the Bible. Those letters that are recorded as the words of Christ. And he says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." You see, so many of us are nervous about tomorrow and what tomorrow will bring that we can't live today. And we need hope for today. And so we're caught in this battle between today and tomorrow. And we're overwhelmed. Listen, God owns today and God owns tomorrow. Our God is an eternal God. He always has been, and He always will be. You need to understand this. This is more than just a doctrinal statement to say that God is eternal, okay? God being eternal has a major impact on our lives. It's the fact that God being eternal means that all time is linear with God. It's all the same. 1,000 years from now is as though 1,000 years ago with God. It's all present. It's all in the present with God. There is no real tomorrow and there is no real yesterday with God. Everything with God, because He is eternal, is all today. So tomorrow for God is today. He's already there. In our finite minds, we can't rationalize that. But what I'm trying to encourage you this morning is you're worried about what tomorrow holds, and I'm telling you, God's already there waiting on you. He's already got tomorrow taken care of. He's in control of tomorrow. And listen, since we know that the Lord holds the key to all of our tomorrows, we should therefore be able to place our full confidence to trust in Him and therefore have hope for tomorrow. Even in the unexpected events of life, we can trust God. In Hebrews, the Bible describes our faith as like this: being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's hope. I don't see it. I can't put my hand on it. I can't touch it, but I know it's there. That's my hope in God. G. Campbell Morgan tells the story of a man whose shop had been burned in the Great Chicago Fire. He went there the next morning and everything was in ruins. He started kind of sifting through the items there, and he found a table that had survived the fire. And he got that old table out and he pulled it out of the ruins and he placed it out in front of where the business once stood. And he found some paper and he made a sign. And he hung that sign there on the table. And that sign read, "Everything lost except wife, children, and hope. Business will be resuming tomorrow morning as usual." I'm telling you this morning, some of you, your lives have been devastated, and it seems as though all is in ruins. And God says, "Hey, put a sign out. Everything may be ruined, but you're still alive, and hope's still. And we can open for business as usual tomorrow." Amen? Amen. That's the hope that God gives us. That's the hope that God wants us to live in. Listen, we're not on a long day's journey into the night. Listen, that's despair of the unbeliever. But for the child of God, there's always a tomorrow. That's why we can go to the graveyard and we can sit in the cemetery and we can lay an old body to rest, and it's not goodbye, it is I will see you tomorrow. Because we have the hope and the promise and the assurance of the resurrection. Amen? That's the hope for tomorrow that we have in God. But then also, your soul not only needs a hope for today and a hope for tomorrow, but also needs a future and a hope for eternity. For eternity. Now, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11 that God has put eternity in the heart of man. He says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work of God that God does from beginning to end. In the Jewish Bible translation, it says this: also, He has given human beings an awareness of eternity. That is, that God has put in the heart and mind of man, there's something else out there. This can't be all that life consists of. There has to be more. What is that more? God has put that in the hearts of man. In Ecclesiastes 3 verse 21 it says this: Who knows the spirit of the sons of men who goes upward, and the spirit of the animal which goes down to earth? You see, unlike animals, human souls, we've already learned in our first lesson, your soul is of great value. Why? Because it will always exist. Even after your body will die and decay and go back to dust, your soul will last for eternity. And so unlike animals, we have a soul that will live forever. Now, here's some interesting scientific research. Scientists are finally catching up to Scripture. Scientists have discovered children, and this is in a Boston University research. They find that children, regardless of how those children are raised, whether those children are raised in church, out of church, whether those children are raised in a Baptist denomination, or whether those children are raised in a Catholic or Jewish or whatever denomination, Muslim, Hindu, no matter what, children that are raised regardless of their background, all children have the same beliefs that when we die, we go somewhere. They're not taught that. They're born with that. God has given it to them in their heart. We grow and we try to teach ourselves to believe something different. But our soul knows very well that we need a future and a hope for eternity. Dallas Willard puts it like this. He says, You are an unceasing spiritual being with an eternal destiny in God's great universe. Did you hear that? You are an unceasing spiritual being with an eternal destiny in God's great universe. So our soul needs to know its future and its hope for eternity. John Ortberg says this. He adds that the reason God has placed eternity in the human heart is because we were made for eternal existence with Him. We sense that life does not end with death. We have a hunger that is impossible for the world to satisfy. He says that God did not plant death in the human heart. Death came by sin. That includes my sin. Human self-sufficiency can't get me out of this. If I don't have a hope that's eternal, I don't have a real hope at all. But God will do anything to keep the soul alive. In my reading the other day, I was finishing up the Old Testament in Malachi, and I was finishing up New Testament, Revelation chapter 22. And Malachi, the last word in the book of Malachi, is the word curse. You ever thought about that? The Old Testament ends with the word curse. The beginning of Revelation chapter 22 says that God will remove the curse. What we deserve is death and hell because of our sins. But God has removed that curse, and he's given us eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. He's offering us a hope. And so I wrote in my journal, what I deserve is death and damnation. What I do not deserve is life. I couldn't earn it. I didn't merit it. But God wanted it so much for me that he came as Christ and took my place. I ask people this question all the time. What else are you waiting on God to do? What else are you waiting on God to do for you to put your hope and trust in him? He's done all that he can do. He gave himself in your place. There's nothing more he could do. If he could have done more, he would have. But he didn't do any less either. Amen? He's done it all so that you can have a future and a hope for eternity. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 23, it says this. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. I don't know what it's going to be like to stand in the presence of the Almighty. But man, I sure can't wait to be there. Amen? That's my hope. That's my hope. Paul goes on to say, or John writes again in John chapter 14, verse 1. Again, these words that he records of Christ. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, then I will surely come again. Amen? And I will receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be there also. So God's given us a promise for an eternity so that we can have a future and a hope for all of eternity. Paul writes in Romans 5 and verse 5, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. This morning, I want you to know that there is hope for you and there is a hope for your soul. For today, for tomorrow, and for all of eternity. And that hope is only found in Christ Jesus. Corrie ten Boom, one of the survivors of the Holocaust, says this, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. The more you grow to know him, the more you'll grow in your hope. That's the hope that God has wants for you today. With Jesus, we have hope for today. We have hope for tomorrow. We have hope for eternity. And listen, you have hope for today. You have hope for tomorrow. You have hope for eternity, regardless of your past. Regardless of your past. God offers you hope this morning. Would you come? Let's pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. This morning. Oh, how your soul needs hope. And you're in the right place this morning. And you've been given a great opportunity in this moment. Would you simply trust and receive Christ right where you're sitting? Would you just simply in your heart say, oh God, this morning, my soul is cast down. Father, give me hope. If you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, this morning, would you trust him? Would you say, Father, this morning, I don't see you. God, I can't reach out and touch you. But God, my soul needs hope. And I'm willing to reach out, to reach for you, and to receive you this morning. And I pray, Holy Spirit, this morning, that you would hear the cry of that heart. And right now, you would just give strong impression that you've heard their cry. And this morning, you would begin to just flood their hearts with hope in this moment. Father God, today, I love you. God, I thank you this morning that in times of my life, God, when I am faithless and hopeless, God, you are always faithful to bring hope, to restore hope, to offer hope. God, I know this morning, God, I'm certain this morning, because I've been there, that God, there are individuals in this building that are watching, that are listening, that God, who are in a point and place in their life, God, where they're ready to give up. They're ready to give in. They're faithless. They're hopeless. And God, this morning, you have a special word for them. And I ask you, Father, right now, God, that you would overwhelm them with your love. God, I pray this morning that you would open the windows of heaven. God, that you would rain down on them a fresh hope for today, a bright hope for tomorrow, a secure hope for all of eternity. And Father, this morning, we'll just be sure to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Father, this morning, as you've spoken, God, we're listening. God, we ask you to continue to speak. We ask you to draw this morning. God, this morning, we love you. We ask you all this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. This morning, we want to give you an invitation to know the hope of Jesus Christ. Maybe this morning you'd say, Preacher, that sounds good. That sounds exactly what I need. But I just don't know how to go about it. I'm just at a point and place in my life where I can't even do it for myself. I need somebody to help me to walk through this. Listen, we've got some folks that will pray with you. We've got folks that will share scripture with you. We've got folks that will come along beside you, not just for today, but for tomorrow and for next week, for the months ahead, as you begin this journey and this relationship with Christ to discover hope. And so this morning, would you just simply step out where you're at and make your way forward? We're going to have a hymn of invitation this morning. Brother Mike's going to come and lead us this morning as we're singing, as God's speaking into your life. Would you just simply come today? Would you put your faith and your trust in Christ today? Maybe today you want to just come to this prayer altar and say, God, here I am, and I'm going to lay all of my hopelessness right here. God, I want you to fill me with hope for today, for tomorrow, for all of eternity. Would you come today as we stand to sing? Brother Mike leads us. You come right now. Without waiting, you come this morning.
I sought his
Being here this morning, thank you so much. Thank you for worshiping with us online, on the radio, here in person. I pray this morning that you can walk out of here knowing that you do have a hope for today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hey, if you can't walk out with hope today, please, don't leave. Don't leave. Stay. Stay. Find hope before you leave. And that hope is in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? Thank you so much. Hey, those that are going to meet with Mike back here in the choir room right after the service, so you make your way back there just as soon as we dismiss, and look forward to what we're going to have over the next few weeks. We are going to have some Christmas celebrations and Thanksgiving celebrations, so it's going to be a great time. Hey, next Sunday afternoon, that is November the 14th, right, Brother Billy, Miss Sandy? Next Sunday afternoon, we're going to meet here. We're going to have our Lottie Moon kickoff, and we'll be having soup sandwiches afterwards and that sort of thing. So it's a great, great time. Walk to the manger, and so we'll be beginning to collect our Lottie Moon Christmas offering at that time. And so next Sunday afternoon will be a very, very important time. Also, is it today or next Sunday? Next Sunday is the last Sunday to collect our shoeboxes. Our Samaritan Purse shoeboxes. So if you've not been able to do that, this is your last week. You can go online and do that, or you can actually fill up a box here. Either way you want to do. And Miss Jeannie?
If you go online, be sure to let me know so that you're going to be taking the box first.
We can report those. Right. Right. Amen. And so you can do that online. You can do that in person. And you can do that in multiples of tens as well. You can do one shoebox, you can do 10 shoeboxes, up to 1,000, I think. So however you want to do that, okay? John. Time next Sunday afternoon is 4:30 next Sunday afternoon, okay? All right. Hey, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Weren't you glad somebody said, hey, let's go to church today? Amen? Amen. Amen. Brother Mike, thank you, brother. Appreciate your stepping up, stepping in, brother. Would you lead us in a closing song this morning?
Bond of love.
Amen. That's a good one.